Hey, listen, are you thinking about buying tickets to your favorite sports, concert, or theater event? Maybe you want to experience a basketball game courtside rather than on your couch. Maybe you go to a hockey game and you bang on the glass instead of your own TV in your own living room. Then head on over to FanExchange.com for a safe, easy, and reliable experience. Tickets purchased on FanExchange are always guaranteed. There's no getting to the gate and worrying about getting in. So whether it's NBA, Major League Baseball, WrestleMania, Coachella, maybe a Broadway musical, FanExchange will get you closer to the action. Find the very best seats at the best prices at FanExchange.com. Use the promo code Rome, and you'll get 50% off the service fees on your next purchase. Fan Exchange. We have tickets. That's Fan Exchange. I've been jamming all morning long, and I didn't think that bell was ever going to ring. What's up? Welcome to the jungle. I am Jim Rome. A tremendous Friday to you. Alvin, just give it to me. I'll take that deck of yeah right now. Everybody's hyped. We are live in the Quicken Loan Studios. Quicken Loan Supply, simply understand fully and mortgage confidently. Welcome to the program. Nice to have you here. Let's get it. How's your day going? How's the weekend look? Coming off the first night of the draft, a ton of NFL to get to. All of my thoughts, a conversation with Daniel Jeremiah coming up in 15 minutes. So let's get it. Telephone number is 1-800-636-8686. Once again, toll free. Hit us up right now, 1-800-636-8686. I'd love to see you on Twitter. Follow me at Jim Rome. If you want to go old school, the email address still works. Email me at Rome, R-O-M-E, at haveatake.com. We are all over the NFL draft. Daniel Jeremiah in 15 minutes. Top of hour number two, Arizona Cardinals GM Steve Keim. Third hour, we talk some basketball. An NBA insider for Bleacher Report magazine, Tom Haverstraw. The week that was. Alvy's had a big week. Little did I know Alvy was moonlighting on the side. He had another side hustle, another side gig. So that also includes the week that was. That's coming up in the third hour. Lots to get to. What a great night that was last night, starting with the NFL draft. Why don't we go right to the top of the draft? In fact, why don't I break down the entire first round? Let me do something a little bit different. The first round of the NFL draft went down, so let me start by giving you my grades. Why don't we start in the NFC East and the Dallas Cowboys? Because they took Leighton Vander Esch, a linebacker out of Boise State. And I'm going to start right there, and I'm going to give that a grade of... Yeah, because that's what I'm about. Yeah, I'm not going to do that. I mean, I could. I could spend the entire program running down every single team, grading every single pick from last night, and then projecting who they're going to take next. But I'm not going to do that because, for the most part, it's like throwing darts blindfolded. There are certainly some picks I liked. There are some picks that I didn't like. But we're really not going to know what did and did not work for a couple of years, right? There's no way of knowing. However, there is one grade that I can give you right now. And that grade is for the commissioner, Roger Goodell. More specifically, the commissioner's effort to use Roger Staubach, Troy Aikman, and Jason Witten as shields against the traditional boos that rain down on the commissioner when he shows up. I've got a grade for that, and that grade is F-. Check out this reception.
Welcome, football fans, to the 2018 NFL Draft, Texas style. I can't believe you guys are booing the Cowboys. Come on. Thank you all for being here and for all of you tuning in across the country to welcome our future NFL stars.
Yeah, that was smooth, Raj. Really smooth. Holy crap. Nice try with that, Commissioner. I mean, did you really think that the fans were going to say to themselves, I'm here to boo the old man? Oh, but wait. There are our dudes. There's Raj. There's Troy. There's Jason. Those are my dudes. I can't boo them. What do I do? Yeah, nice try with that. Gary Bettman can't believe how badly the commissioner just got booed. A nice effort by the commissioner to use those shields. And then when it didn't work, to go with that little blast, I can't believe you guys are booing the Cowboys. I mean, come on.
I can't believe you guys are booing the Cowboys.
Yeah, come because on. They're not. They're booing you. They're making that very clear. All right, couple of things to take away from that. Number one, Cowboy fans, they've got some serious lung. They can bring the boo. Secondly, the only thing stronger than the booing was Rodgers' arm. That dude still has a cannon. Did you see him fire that football? He didn't just drop that one in the first row. That was no dump off. That was not him checking off. That was a 76-year-old man going deep. And he still has a better arm than Chad Henne.
Hell!
However, with the traditional booing of the commissioner over, then it was time to get down to business. And by getting down to business, I mean Cleveland getting down the way they did, getting on the clock, digging into the batter's box, and then taking a huge swing by taking this guy.
With the first pick in the 2018 NFL Draft, the Cleveland Browns select Baker Mayfield, quarterback, Oklahoma.
Man, freaking love it. What a brass move that was. I mean, really, an amazing pick. And I don't want to hear from anybody saying that they called that because you didn't, because nobody did. Everybody had called everybody in that spot. So zero credit to the prognosticators and huge credit to Cleveland GM John Dorsey. That takes a brass set. That's a monster move. Dorsey controlled the draft. He could pick anybody he wanted, and he looked at that draft board and said, let's do this. Why the hell not? Why the hell not? I've only got two words for that. And those were the two words that the Browns tweeted out. He. That goes back to that story about Hugh Jackson and the story he told about Baker Mayfield being the Pied Piper.
I kind of feel like he's the Pied Piper of Oklahoma football. You know, the workout, I will share this with you. When we walked into the building, he made the sound. He just kind of came out of nowhere. He went hee. And all the players in the building start going, hee-hee. I mean, and here they go. I mean, it's the most unbelievable thing I've ever seen. That shows you something about what he means to young men and how he leads them. And that's who Baker Mayfield is.
Hee-hee. It's a good tweet. It's a good tweet and a good story. Yeah, but don't take it from the guy who is about to coach him. Yesterday, I asked the guy who had been coaching him what Baker was like to coach and be around. Lincoln Riley said it was an absolute blast.
A lot of fun. The main reason that he was fun to coach was, you know, even after he had some success early in his career here, he always wanted to get better. He always let me coach him hard, always responded the right way, and was hungry to get better. And you appreciate that about a guy, because human nature, a lot of times when we have some success, says, well, this is going good. I kind of got it now, and we get on a little bit of a cruise control.
So his college coach actually obviously loved him, which is part of the reason why Cleveland loved him. I mean, yeah, there are those 12,000 passing yards, the 119 touchdowns. He's got an attitude and a swagger that a lot of guys don't have. And I know the plan. This is key. I know the plan is to have him sit behind Tyrod Taylor. But Baker Mayfield has got a history of vaulting over depth charts. He's not just a live arm for practice. This guy takes jobs. He was a walk-on at Texas Tech. He started as a true freshman. He was a walk-on again at Oklahoma, and then he started. He was a walk-on twice, and then he won the Heisman Trophy. I mean, let me repeat that. A walk-on who won the Heisman Trophy. A walk-on who won the Heisman Trophy, and then parlayed that into becoming the top pick overall in the NFL draft. This guy freaking walked on in college. And a few years later is the top pick overall. So hate on this guy all you want, but that is just literally one of the greatest stories in sports history. It just is. So this guy proves doubters and haters wrong because he lives for that bleep. And if he and the Browns pull this off, it's going to be even more legendary than anything he's already done in an already legendary career. I mean, the guy already is a living, talking, walking miracle. Now, I'm not saying the pick's without risk. I do think top to bottom, Sam Darnold was the best quarterback prospect coming out. It would have been the safe pick. And considering how badly the Browns have jacked up their quarterback picks in the past, you could see why they would just stay in their lane and not assume any additional risk. But they didn't. And that's why I love that. And I hate that tired old line about how either you love a guy or you hate a guy, but it applies to this guy. And I love that guy. Yes, he runs hot. Yes, I'd be lying if I said that didn't concern me on some level, but everything else about this guy overrides it. He's electric. I don't care if he's short by quarterback standards. He can make every throw. He's a great playmaker. He's accurate. He's a winner. He's done it on the biggest stages. And yes, the dude is running on rocket fuel. I love the guy. And I love that pick. Again, I can't guarantee he'll dominate. I can't guarantee he'll step in. And 15 years out, he'll have a mustard jacket. But I know this. This guy ain't Johnny Manziel. And the guy who made the pick, John Dorsey, was not having any of that comparison. Quote, in doing all of our research with Baker Mayfield, he has earned it. From high school to college, he has earned it. When he gets to Oklahoma, he begins to learn the playbook in 3 days. I have no qualms whatsoever about him as a man or a football player. I mean, I can go on and on and on about this guy. I could do an entire hour on this guy. I love the pick. Is it going to work? I mean, I don't know for certain. Nobody does. But then again, nobody knows whether or not Sam Darnold or Josh Allen or Josh Rosen would work in Cleveland. Because nobody really knows anything. And because of the list of quarterbacks who have succeeded in Cleveland for the last 2 decades is non-existent. But I know this. I love this pick. And if it doesn't work out, don't look for me to crack on these guys. Because right now, that pick makes that team that won one game in the last 2 years must-see TV. And you can thank Dorsey and Baker Mayfield for that. An entire open on the pick. I love it. I love it. Darnold, to me, top to bottom, was the best prospect coming out. But that is a gonad pick right there. That is stones. C-Town, how you feeling about it? Dear Rome, wore awkwardly cheering on camera when my team took an offensive lineman with their first pick of the NFL draft. Signed, every Colts, Niners, Raiders, Lions, Bengals, and Patriots fan at the NFL draft. Matt in Tucson. Yeah, I love teams giving themselves credit in the war room for their pick. Yeah, how about us? How you like us now? We took an offensive lineman that everybody knew we were going to pick. Yeah. Have not been giving myself nearly enough credit. I think I'm going to stand up and give myself a standing O. Rome. The why are you guys booing the Cowboys blast from good old Raj really had me slapping my knee.
I can't Signed, believe you guys are booing the Cowboys. Come on.
Come on. Signed, I got your nose, guy. Aaron in Omaha, wore Roger going undrafted in his water aerobics league tonight. Yeah, nice try going with those human shields. I know. I'm in Arlington, and I've got some Dallas Cowboy legends. No way would they boo me with those guys up there. Yeah, they would. In fact, probably more so because they saw right through it. Stop using legends as shields. Dear Jim, Goodell was pretty proud of himself with that booing joke, huh? What a dolt. Mike in Buffalo. Hey, dolt's a good word. Dolt is a good word and an underrated word and an underused word. Dolt's good. Almost as good as kook. Except kook is a palindrome. Kook's the best word ever. Hey, on this Friday, go ahead. Submit a better word for me than kook. Short. Chippy. Spelled the same way frontwards and backwards. Refers to many different people. You know, like surf kooks in Huntington Beach. Kooks with bad takes on this show. I love kook. All right, in addition to that, I know I spent the entire open on that pick. That's what I thought of that pick. Love that pick. In addition to it, I want to talk about Sam Darnold. I love him going to the Jets. I want to talk about Josh Allen going to Buffalo. Man, this guy, it was great to see his crisis counselors step right up, coach him up, and seemingly put all of that behind him. Those tweets, I should say. Don't be a twit. Don't tweet racism. Anyway, it looked like he had put that behind him only to find out that he was dropping lines on the quarterback's wife that he's trying to beat out now. I mean, Josh, maybe go through that thing one more time just to make sure. What are they going to find today? Josh Rosen, without question, one of my favorite moments of the night was this guy getting loose after he dropped to Arizona. You talk about team fuel. Man, I absolutely love his response about the 9 mistakes made in front of him. Lamar Jackson going to the Ravens. It's bad news for you, Joe Flacco. One more thought about Baker Mayfield. How about him tipping the nation that he was going number one on his Instagram live feed? So ESPN, the NFL, Fox, NFL Network, all of us were doing our best to make sure that nobody let it get out. And there's Baker just shooting it out there before anybody knows. Why? Because we are our own network, or at least we are if we're somebody of name and we've got enough followers and we have a phone and a Wi-Fi connection. Thought that was pretty curious. And by curious, I mean kind of awesome. Daniel Jeremiah is coming up in 5 minutes. Steve Keim coming up next hour. Tom Haverstraw coming up in hour number 3. And I'm looking for you clones to step it up right now. Now, when you're on the field, it's all about the right timing. Knowing when to plan the play. Knowing when to make the play. It's what all great coaches know. They're doing it from the sideline. They're making their plan. They're executing their plan. O'Reilly Auto Parts knows that as well. They also know that when you need a part, but you're not in position to pick up that part, you can just order the part that you need at O'ReillyAuto.com. Then when you are ready, you can pick it up at any of their 5,000 stores nationwide. There are no shipping costs, returns are always easy, and you can pick them up when it's convenient for you. It's so easy. And then you know that when you get there, what you want will be there. And it's going to save you time also in the store. The shopping game begins when you say it begins, and it ends when you get what you want at O'Reilly Auto Parts. It's like you've won before you even leave. Make the smart play. Shop your way for the parts that you need at O'ReillyAuto.com. Once again, O'ReillyAuto.com. Better parts, better prices, a better way to shop every single day. O'ReillyAuto.com.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
If you're watching our simulcast on CBS Sports Network, check out that control room. Look how suave the XR4Ti looks. Hawk, you look ridiculous. Hawk's flexing. You won't believe this. His shirt is buttoned to the top. If you're on hold, stay there. If not, I've got a phone line which is wide open, 1-800-636-8686. As promised, we're joined right now by an analyst for NFL Network. 8 years as an NFL scout. Host of the Move the Sticks podcast along with Bucky Brooks. A participant in the Jim Rome 3-on-3 tourney back in the day. You can follow him on Twitter at Move the Sticks. NFL Network providing coverage of rounds 2 and 3 tonight at 7 p.m. Eastern. Daniel Jeremiah busy but finding time for the jungle. Daniel, good morning. What's up? How are you?
I'm doing great, Jim. What's up, man?
What's up, man? You had a good night last night. I watched you. I thought you did a great job. How'd that go for you?
It was a lot of fun, man. It was, all the quarterbacks. You have that many quarterbacks and all the different teams interested in them. It created for some fun drama in there, no doubt.
All right, so what about the top of the draft? What was your reaction when you saw the Browns take Baker Mayfield?
Well, I've been hearing some buzz about it for a little while, and then I just kind of said, smoke screen, whatever. And then the night before, I had so many people tell me, no, this is really happening. So I ended up kind of putting that in my mock draft yesterday morning and kind of just went with it. So even though I heard it and even though I kind of bought in, you still had to hear the name called before you're 100% certain that's exactly what they were doing. I mean, I think Baker's a really good player. I do, but I don't think he was the best quarterback in this draft.
So what's that pick tell you about the way John Dorsey is approaching that rebuild in Cleveland?
I think, Jim, you look at it, and this team, like I even said it last night, I mean, they've done two things really well, and that's lose football games and lose the football. So you go out and get Tyrod Taylor and Baker Mayfield, two guys, Tyrod coming off a playoff season, Baker have one of those games at Oklahoma, and both those guys really protect the ball. So the identity of the team, to me, looks like let's build a defensive team, a defensive dominant team, and let's try and get a quarterback that's not going to lose games for us and take care of the football. That seems to be the way that they're looking to go.
Hey, I've heard the comparisons maybe to Russell Wilson, maybe to Brett Favre. He had that great tweet the night before with he and Favre. You've compared him, though, to Jeff Garcia. What makes you see, or what have you seen in him that makes you feel that way?
Yeah, because you got two undersized guys. I don't think, look, the Russell Wilson, he's not nearly the athlete that Russell Wilson is. That's not close, in my opinion. And then when you look at Drew Brees, is another one. Drew is... he's on another level in terms of how he operates in the pocket, how he works through progressions and can make every kind of throw. So I can't compare him to either one of those guys. So I'm looking for kind of an undersized quarterback that can move around a little bit, but not looking to run all the time. To me, that was Jeff Garcia. And even some of their mannerisms, they're real fidgety and frenetic and real busy, the best way I can kind of describe it. So some of their mannerisms even remind me of that. And Garcia, when he was in that offense early on with T.O., went to a couple Pro Bowls and was pretty darn effective.
Daniel Jeremiah, NFL Network analyst, joining us. The NFL Network has got live coverage of rounds 2 and 3 tonight starting at 7 p.m. Eastern. So what do you make of Saquon Barkley going number 2 overall to the Giants? I mean, I guess you could make an argument that you can't justify taking a running back that high, even that running back. But do you like that pick? And then how much does that change the offense and Eli Manning's life?
I could have gone either way with it. He's the best player in the draft, so I get it. I understand it, and they're going to be a better football team next year because of making that decision. I just think, man, you've had 14 years with Eli Manning, which is rare to have that long of a run with one quarterback. But he's 37 years old, and you've got a 20-year-old Sam Darnold staring at you. You could have another 14-year run with a quarterback. So that's what I would have done. I get it. Saquon Barkley's a better player than Sam Darnold, but you're picking all the way up there and you got a chance to get a quarterback. I think that's, in long run, I think that's the right decision.
All right, so what do you think the Jets were thinking when they're sitting there with the third pick and Darnold is still on the board? How hyped were they? And what do you make of that fit? How do you think he'll do there?
Well, I got a text from one of their executives. It was just the thumbs up emoji. So I figured that was pretty excited.
Right.
I don't think when they made that trade, which was really a blind trade, you know, pretty unusual to make a move like that, not knowing who's going to be there to get to three. I don't think they imagined at that point in time Sam Darnold would be staring at him. So it ended up working out for him. The one thought I had this morning as I was kind of looking over all this stuff, Jim, was, you know, the Colts got three twos to go from 3 to 6, which is a heck of a haul. You know, the Jets had to overpay. But what if they'd have waited? What if they'd have waited until last night and then Sam Darnold is there at number three? I just kind of wondered maybe they could even have got more than those three twos.
You know, it's true, especially in this draft, Daniel, where you can get such value in the second round and the third round. And then you go to the fourth pick overall, where Cleveland comes back, and the thought had been that maybe they go with Bradley Chubb to partner with Myles Garrett. Instead, they take Denzel Ward out of Ohio State. You had Chubb as the second-best player on your top 50. Ward is the fourth best. So what's your reaction with that pick?
Yeah, I mean, again, Ward's a great player, no doubt. But you had a chance to get the premier pass rusher in the draft. So in my opinion, you go the best quarterback, and then you take the best player, which would have been Chubb. So that would have been the way that I would have gone. I heard that they were in on Ward. I had him actually in a mock draft trading back and taking him. But, hey, they didn't think that that was worth the risk of trading back and hoping he was there. That was their guy. And the two biggest needs when you just look at their roster was quarterback and cornerback. Those are two areas they had to address. So that's the area they decided to go. It is kind of funny to me, though, because knowing guys that know John Dorsey and haven't been around him and the old Packers and they're with the Chiefs, they always talk about traits and size. And here they go. They draft two undersized guys with their first two picks.
Huh. Daniel Jeremiah joining us. All right, so what do you make about what Buffalo did? They take Josh Allen over Josh Rosen. And when you look at Allen and all the questions about his accuracy, you've made the point that he throws a lot of passes on a line and flat. How big of an issue could that be?
Well, yeah, I mean, I think it's gonna really matter how you construct the offense. I mean, you can go back to Colin Kaepernick, who had some of the same concerns. You know, when he was with Harbaugh, they had a great running game, so all their passing attack was off of play action. You're throwing drive throws on comebacks. You're throwing skinny posts. He was very comfortable in that type of a setup, and he thrived. Cam Newton's the same way. If you can run the ball heavy and then be able to take those shots, he's really good. He's not going to just sit back there and pick you apart and make over-under throws and layer throws. That's the same kind of issue that Josh Allen's going to have. So their biggest challenge now, Jim, they lost three offensive linemen in the offseason. So they have got to get some help here in the rest of this draft to get this offensive line up and running, because Josh Allen without a running game is going to be very challenging.
We're covering a lot of ground. Daniel Jeremiah for a couple of more moments on the program. So Allen goes to Buffalo, which of course means Arizona's got a chance to trade up and they get Josh Rosen. How do you like the fit of Rosen in Arizona?
Yeah, I mean, Jim, if he doesn't beat out Sam Bradford in training camp, I'll be shocked. I mean, I think he'll be the first one of these rookie quarterbacks to get on the field. I think he'll get a chance to get out there right away, and he's fortunate because he has the one luxury that none of these other rookie quarterbacks will have, and that's having David Johnson. So I think he not only has a chance to get on the field, I think he's got a chance to be successful pretty early on.
Daniel, Sam Bradford, wouldn't that be something? That'd be like, and no disrespect, and of course when somebody says no disrespect, somebody might get disrespected, but would that not be the most Sam Bradford thing ever? Come in there, get your 20 mil, get beat out by the kid? I mean, I guess Sam wins either way.
Yeah, hey, every Tuesday, as long as that thing cashes, we're good.
We're talking to Daniel Jeremiah. All right, so back in the day, one of your jobs was calling in the picks for the Ravens. What's the first day of the draft like for scouts and front office personnel who are in the rooms and making the decisions at the board?
Oh, it's fun, man. If you're with the right group, it's actually really chill. You know, I see the images and hear about stories of all the chaos and the scrambling around. Like, you're doing it wrong, man. We've had a long time to get ready for this thing. You should have all mapped out. You've got your order all set. It's kind of just paint by numbers. Do you sit there with your list like you would do if you're running a fantasy football draft and check them off one by one? If you don't like who's there, you trade out. If you're worried about, you know, somebody that you really like, you think you got to go up and get them, you do it. But it's the good ones, you know, haven't been around Ozzie Newsome, who I think is the best. It's pretty calm and pretty patient in there.
All right, so leave us with that thought. The Ravens move up to 32 and they get Lamar Jackson. You've been in the draft room with Ozzie Newsome in the past. Knowing him as you do, what do you think went into that trade and that selection?
Well, I think it was very calculated. I think when you go back to them bringing in RG3, kind of made some sense to kind of, okay, we could try and introduce a new way of offense here once we move on from Joe Flacco. So that was the first sign. You're sitting at 16. You wanted a tight end. You knew you didn't have to take him there, so you trade back, get extra picks. You still get the top tight end. Then you can use some of these extra picks to come back in and get Lamar at 32, where you can get that fifth year on a contract. So to me, it was very thought out. It was very calculated. And it was very smart. And there's definitely some risk involved there, Jim, but I thought it was definitely worth the risk, no question.
Daniel Jeremiah covering a ton of ground, an NFL Network analyst. You can follow him on Twitter at Move the Sticks. And don't forget, NFL Network provides live coverage of rounds 2 and 3 tonight, getting underway at 7 p.m. Eastern. Daniel, great job. Great to have you back on. Thank you very much. Have a great weekend.
I appreciate you, Jim. Have a good one, man.
You too. Appreciate you too. Daniel Jeremiah, nice job. All right, so your thoughts on it. Look, there's no reason not to call it today. Everybody's got a favorite team. Everybody's got a take. Everybody's got an opinion on what they saw last night in the first round. Call me right now, 1-800-636-8686. We've got a wide-open segment coming up next. Steve Keim of the Arizona Cards, top of hour number 2. Tom Haverstroh coming up in the third hour. And lots more takes. You know, I know plenty of you out there had a bad night. I know because the first thing I do every single morning is go right to Twitter. And I'm checking out your tweets. And then I listen for your phone calls. I can tell a lot of you did not sleep well last night. You don't sound coherent. You don't sound lucid. I've got the solution to your problem. The reason you didn't sleep well last night was probably somebody next to you was snoring. Or maybe you yourself were snoring. Zepa is the solution. It's a revolutionary game changer. If you snore, you are not sleeping. If you are not sleeping, then you're not succeeding. Nobody succeeds with no sleep. You got to be sharp. You have to be at your best. Zepa is the solution. Zepa is the only snoring solution of its kind. So if you snore, you need to get one. What you should do right now is go to ZYPPAH.com. ZYPPAH.com. It's easy to remember because Zepa is Happy Z spelled backwards. Go to Zepa.com right now and get one. Tell everybody you know to get one. Remember, ZYPPAH. ZYPPAH. Zepa, get the great night of sleep that you need. And you.
Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show on CBS Sports Radio.
It's that, and as you know, Friday is an ATP day. Ask the Pros, brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Go to CBSSportsRadio.com/AskThePros. Submit a question for me. I will read one of those later on. And in the meantime, you want to thank O'Reilly Auto Parts for all of your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices. Excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. I said, find me a better word than kook. Some of you are trying. Dear Van Smack, well, not a palindrome. Goob is woefully underused. For instance, Roger tried to be a kook, but he came off as a total goob. Not bad. Not as good as kook. This guy writes, Rome, great question. In regards to what word is better than kook, I only have 4 that I can think of, and they are dude, dude, yes, yes.
Dude, dude, yes, yes.
Signed, Alvin Scully. Alvin Scully. Come on, Alvin Scully.
Dude, dude, yes, yes.
War getting Alvin to broadcast the next 6 rounds of the draft. War boob being another great palindrome. I.e., Roger Goodell is such a boob. Ken in Mission Viejo. That is a palindrome. Romy, I put the word kook to shame. Signed, Dingbat. Geoff and Lincoln. Unwar adults who ride contraptions like those 3-wheel pedal bikes that are about a foot off the ground. And we go to Twitter with it, too. Phil in Nashville tweets, frumpy is a pretty good word. Fake K. Winslow tweets, you love the word kook? How about the word dweeb?
Yeah, dweeb.
Signed, Vinny and Indy. Vinny and Indy was the only guy that day in the entire jungle, if not the entire nation, who didn't get the joke. Hate being that guy.
Pleasure's mine.
Yeah, I know, Vinny. It must have been. You were the only guy who didn't get the joke, Vinny.
Yeah, dweeb.
Phil in Dallas tweets, crank is a better word than kook. No, it's not. It's a good word, but it's not better. All right, so I've got Steve Keim coming up top of the hour, so let me share my thoughts right now on the Cards and what they end up with. Baker Mayfield, Sam Darnold, Josh Allen off the board, which meant one member of the Big Four was still available, Josh Rosen. And you could tell from the cutaway shots, only the cutaway shots, that he was not happy about that. And it was awesome. Not because I like seeing shots of potential draft picks suffering, but because you could tell his motivation was rising every second and that chip on his shoulder was getting bigger and bigger with each passing pick. And when Arizona moved up to number 10 to take him, the wait was over. Not the wait for Rosen to find a team, but the wait for Rosen to unload on everybody who didn't take him. And he brought the heat as only Josh Rosen can, starting with this line to ESPN. Quote, "I'm more motivated than I've ever been in my entire life." End quote. Well, considering how motivated this guy's been to this point, that's saying something. But he was only getting started. He later said, and this is an amazing quote, "There were 9 mistakes made ahead of me. I will make sure over the next decade or so, they know they made a mistake." You know, I'm not sure if that's red hot or ice cold. Honestly, it's a combination of both, and I love it. He's not saying that because he thinks like that sounds like a good soundbite or that it's going to fire up the Cardinal fans, although it does, and it should. But this is coming from something much deeper than that. And then he drops another great line, quote, "Maybe if I could, or if I had shut up these last 3 years, I could have been picked higher," end quote. Yeah, maybe, possibly, but I'm glad you didn't shut up over the last 3 years because that's what makes this guy so unique. That's what makes this guy different. And he was pissed, majorly pissed, and was not afraid to show that either. And that's not me saying that. That's Rosen himself saying that. Again, quote, "I was pretty pissed when I fell and 1, 2, 3 went by. And I was really angry. Teams were passing on me. I was honestly expecting to get picked at some point and have to fake a smile and pretend to be happy. But for some reason, when I got picked, all of that went away and I just went straight to excitement and relief. The biggest thing was definitely motivation and I feel determined. I'm just more motivated than ever," end quote. So when he was asked why he thought so many teams passed on him, he was not going to speculate. Quote, "I don't know. I don't care. I'm happy it happened. I'm really happy it happened. I'm glad I'm at number 10. I'm glad the cards came up and got me. I really think it's a match made in heaven. I wouldn't change anything. You guys might call BS on me, but complete honesty from the bottom of my heart, there's not another team that I'd rather go to." Yeah, I got to tell you, if I were him, I'd feel the exact same way. Look at what he's going to. Larry Fitzgerald, David Johnson, playing in Arizona. A perfect fit for him and for the Cards, who just got the most pro-ready quarterback in the draft and the most motivated quarterback in the draft. And the greatest quote in years. I love this guy's reaction, and I love where this guy's going, and I love that draft pick from the Cards. Yeah, I know it sounds like I'm only saying how much I love everything, but I really do love Baker Mayfield at the top, and I love this guy going to Arizona. And most of all, I love his reaction. He also said something to the effect of, "If it were up to me, I'd get on an airplane right now, head straight there, and start working this very second." Man, he was pissed and didn't try to hide it. "Dear Jim, there were 9 mistakes ahead of me. Sincerely, the 10th word in IRA's manuscript." Denlesks. This email starts, "Hi, Jim. What's the difference between the 2018 Browns QB pick and the 2014 Browns QB pick? Answer. One is Baker Mayfield. The other may get baked on the field." And she signs it. Double hey-o. Sarah T. in Providence. And just one more. "Romy, did you say the commish used the Cowboys as a shield? Very brave. Regards, honking at somebody at a stoplight, getting stuck next to them at the next light, and then staring straight ahead, refusing to make eye contact. Geoff and Lincoln."
Come on.
Come on. Come on. How do you boo the Cowboys like that?
Come on.
They're not booing the Cowboys, Raj. That was definitely for you. So Josh Rosen goes to Arizona. I love that pick. Sam Darnold to the Jets. I love that pick. You know, I'm not sure I love what Buffalo did. I love them moving up, but I'm not sure I love that pick. And we'll get into that later on, too. Steve Keim joins me momentarily. And I got to get to the phones. 1-800-636-8686. Let's do it. Matt in L.A. on a Friday. Just had to do it. What's going on, Matt? How are you?
Snaglio. What up, pimpin'? Hey, the only bigger swing and miss of that NFL draft and Cleveland burning the number one on a dude who would have been there at their number four was old Codger Gardell. Yo, Raj, you suck. Even that cowboy Troy Aikman, Jason Witten flak jacket couldn't lessen the stink off of your howdy doody ass. Well done, Dallas. Way to treat that coward Gardell like the puke he is. But the real reason I called was to congratulate my man Reggie McKenzie. He got us an O-lineman to protect D.C., and he absolutely fleeced Pittsburgh for one Martavis Bryant. And Bill Bryant is going to be paired up with White Lightning Jordy Nelson to get AC more open than freeway lanes on the 405 for AC and OJ back in the day, Romy. Hey, that's all I got, pimp. War Dallas fan dropping deuce on Raj last night. Unwar Rex in the ABQ getting more runs this week than the Dodgers. Outro.
Am I the only one who had trouble following the content of that phone call? Can somebody decode that for me? Anyway, Matt, appreciate the hustle and the energy. Whatever you said, whatever that meant. This email says, Rome, Josh freaking Rosen, fire. I was half expecting to see a cutaway shot of him after the ninth pick to see him inflating his blow-up hot tub. Dude is going to light the league up. I just wish he had that fire at UCLA and led that team to something better than the Emerald City Bowl. Part of the problem at UCLA was he was banged up. Concussions, injury, several offense coordinators. To me, I mean, that is the biggest issue about this guy, his durability. But I'm taking that pick all day long. I love this guy's fire. I love his game. I love where he's going. And I love that this guy will look in the camera and not say it because it sounds good, not say it to fire up the fans. Man, he's wearing that. And that's coming from a pretty deep place. I mean, that's like deep in the soul. He's pissed and didn't try to hide it. I love that fire about that guy. Love that pick. At Table Slam fan tweets, a better word than kook. How about neep?
Neep.
I'm not sure neep's an actual word.
Neep.
It's Ducknut tweeting, only 9 mistakes. Psst. Please.
Please.
Signed, Sean Kemp. Haven't heard from Sean Kemp in a long time. At KDaddy737 on Twitter, I think the Browns should go to Books to get flowers for their 2018 season funeral they're going to have after their busted draft. I'm not sure it's a busted draft. Of course, we don't know yet, but even if that is a busted draft, I'm going to say I love that pick. I mean, mark this down. If this guy does not pan out, if this does not materialize, if the guy really is the next Johnny Manziel, and he's not, but if he is, I'm not going to double back and crack the pick that I'm saying right now that I love so much because that took stones. I don't think he's the best quarterback coming out, but I love that pick. You know why I love that pick? Because it's booking awesome. It took booking stones to make that pick. Booking awesome. Dear Jim, you are the king of putting one over on the clones. Cockfighting for charity, encouraging daughters to be strippers, are just two of the many gags that you have pulled. But I want to know the real story of Alvin's announcing career. Half of me believes it was just a prank. David in Castle Rock. All right, David, fair enough. Let's be straight. I do sometimes get over. I am the king of the prank. That's no prank. That's no prank. I'm driving around the night of the game because I've got some business I have to tend to, so I'm trying to dial it up on my radio, and I hear this fuzzy signal. I mean, I hit scan, and it's stopping on stations. And it stopped on this station. I'm like, no way. Wait, Alvin? Alvin has got a side hustle of doing play-by-play. And then I did hear this in my car.
95-95, 3 seconds left. Cleveland inbounds the ball. Top of the circle, LeBron gets the ball. 2 seconds, 1 second, LeBron for the win. Oh, dude, yes, yes.
All right, so this guy writes, half of me believes that it was just a prank. David in Castle Rock, my man, none of you should believe that that was just a prank. That's real. Go with it. 100% accurate. Alvin doing play-by-play and nailing LeBron's dagger three. Do not be confused. Do not get it twisted. That's legit. That's real. He's got a gig, a side hustle. My man, I'm all for it. You know I support everything you do, Alvin, but maybe you dial me in. Maybe I hear it from you personally and not find you on the radio when I'm driving around town.
Please stay LeBron.
Please stay LeBron. Are you kidding? David, that's legit. Look at me. That is legit. Stay tuned. Steve Keim joins me when we come back.